Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Specialist Blake and McKenna are back once again, but we are doing something a little different here. We're celebrating Pride, and we are talking about some gays in reality TV.
Hell yeah. 4 days away from saying goodbye to Pride Month, we said we got to sneak this in there. I think it's something where, like, to just immediately start on the topic, it's like gay people on reality shows are equal parts, like, some of the highlights. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, please get eliminated already. I think there's some thought process of being from Texas. I was like, well, I'm not gay because I'm not like some of these gay guys on this list. And then you realize, like, maybe there was some stereotypical casting for gay people. And, like, even I think we've been wanting this forever of, like, Heisem this last time around. If you see him in a casting photo or you're walking by him on the television, you're not, like, immediately, like, that's the gay guy because of maybe how effeminate or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, when you're watching the show, they're going to be like, this is the gay guy. But I know that's been some people that have loved this show of, like, when can we get, like Kenny from Big Brother Canada 2 is the perfect example of, for a month and a half, I think, in the game, he didn't tell people he was gay. Maybe it's just a month. And there was a girl who was, like, trying to showmance with him, and he kept it under wraps. And then whenever he did come out to his cast, they were like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Like, imagine. Obviously, I think we're past that as a kind of gameplay thing. Like, maybe that's not as interesting anymore. But if we had had a counterpart like that for America, I think that would have been something that everyone would have been like, oh, damn, okay.
Yeah. And I think for, like, the women, either there's a lot of they've come out later after the show. Whether it be Big Brother or, like, some other reality shows that they might have been on. And so we don't really see a lot of out women on the show, at least from what I've experienced. And when I was looking up, you know, a list of everyone, there were not a lot of out women who were on the show. From my experience. And then it's also, like, they can pass as straight as well if they are more feminine. If they're like me, they're a walking sign saying, hi, I'm gay. But right. Like, if they're more feminine, then they can easily pass as just like, oh yeah, I'm straight, or even if they're bi, they can pass because it's like, oh, I have the capacity to like a man. So it's like, I feel like there's not as much representation on the female side.
True.
Side. Am I laggy again?
I think you just got laggy again because you're in front of your ivy wall. Not the ivy wall. I can talk for a little bit though. I think we should start with our big brother stuff. And I'm already gonna mess up some of these people's last names, so I should look it up while we did it. But I think another person that was pretty good for everybody, that everyone was like, I like this guy. And he's my number five gay dude in Big Brother history, would be from Big Brother 24. Yes, I'm still looking up his last name, Michael Bruner. And I think he was somebody that, okay, he's from Minnesota, so he's Midwest nice. But then he was put on the block like super early in the season, which kind of happens to a lot of gay people on the show. And instead of rolling over and dying or being like, oh, I'll do my best, he literally decided to win a competition pretty much every week for the rest of the time he was on the show, and ended up being one of the biggest comp beasts in the history of the show. Because if you look at it, we got a veto win. Mm-hmm. The week three was the bestie phase. That was weird. Oh, no. Veto win. I just got to look at the right part. HOH win, veto win, HOH, veto, HOH, and then finally goes home at sixth place, I think. Mm-hmm. And so whoever would do better research would be like, I have it exactly this stuff. But like, I think we're going more based on vibes right now. And mm-hmm. so Michael Bruner was definitely a contestant where you're like, this is the gay guy. Instead of him falling in like, well, I hope he does well. It was like he took the game into his own hands. He became one of the biggest power players of the season. And that's pretty cool to see that, because that hasn't really been gay people in the past. So I think if you're a gay dude watching now and being 16 years old, you're watching Big Brother and you're like, whenever I get on the show, I think I want to play a game like Michael instead of maybe playing like I'm going to try to align with the power players. I think this was the first time where we had a major power player be the gay man and like him take over the game.
And I think just like first impressions of Michael, you wouldn't assume that he's going to be this comp beast. Granted, you know, Big Brother competitions aren't, you know, crazy outlandish, but you would pick someone like Heisim to win more than Michael, at least in my opinion. And I think he just completely crushed the season with his just physical ability to keep himself safe, whether it be POV or HOH, and to have like that long of a stretch to be safe is a very big credit to him.
And I'm 90% sure that him winning six vetoes is definitely tied for most all time.
I think he has the record for like most comps, like all time. Like,
right. And if he hadn't gone at six, he probably could have broken that. I think it is kind of heartbreaking to watch him go. Like his boot episode is very sad because he's like, please don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. But if they had let him get to five, I think that would have been some of the stupidest gameplay ever. And overall, I think another layer of Big Brother gameplay is like, we revere the Dr. Wills of like, I did everything with zero wins. And so like, when you do break a record for competitions and start talking about it to your fellow contestants while you're sitting on the couch, like you're building a target that is absolutely insane. So I guess this is kind of a ranking of like most important gay guys to the show / were impressive to me recently or all time. So he comes in at number five.
Yeah. My number five will probably be a shock to most, but it's mainly because I just haven't watched her play, and that's Vanessa Russo. I was studying up on her before coming on the podcast, and she also is another one of those competition beasts. She won the most competitions in Big Brother 17, with 4 HOHs and 3 vetoes. So, like, it's crazy that, you know, she also has this big chunk of safety within her season. And she also held the record for most competitions won in a single season by LGBTQ plus house guest, but which was broken by, like, Casey and Michael. I think tied by Casey and then broken by Michael.
And I think one thing that I loved watching her do was, like, if you want to rank people, like, she is a mastermind, but what does she do better than anybody in the history of the game? Is she emotionally manipulated every single person in that house? The things where she got, like, the twins to accidentally pick something bad that opens up a door for her at Final Six when it came to, like, the bowling veto was crazy. It's just, like, as soon as you have made a decision, if Vanessa walks in and starts crying, you're screwed, because you're going to go, like, I can't do this to Vanessa. And I think, not that all lesbian players are emotional, but, like, I think that's just such a fun layer of, oh, like, she's not doing this to have a showmance. Like, usually some of the energy we see is, like, I'm a girl that I need your help this time, and then we're going to fall in love next week. And, like showmance is a strategy that a lot of people have used over the years. And it's something where Vanessa wasn't doing that. She was just messing with your heart in a different way. And I thought that was really refreshing on that season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can say it better than I can. So that's why Vanessa is my number five.
Number four, we're going to go crazy for me. We're going to go to Celebrity Big Brother 1, which you may go, why are we doing that? And that's because the fabulous Ross Matthews was on that season. Yeah. And he played a cutthroat game of, like, I'm just the fun guy in the corner. Like, mm-hmm. And everyone who knows Ross Matthews from maybe a Drag Race or knows Ross Matthews from, I first saw him on the Jay Leno show. But Ross Matthews is just the fun, like, the memes of him on RuPaul's Drag Race are, like, you made me think of the stars and you should be next to the moon. And, like, seeing that persona go through a Big Brother game, and, like, a lot of gay people love competition reality shows, and, like, seeing him get to live his dream of, I'd love to, like, completely turn on my other personality of, like, this person has to go. Mm-hmm. And he worked with the eventual winner, Marissa, pretty well. I mean, I hope I didn't screw up her name. It's Marissa, right? I'm yeah. Okay. Sure. I was like, I don't want it to be Miranda or something. I'm like, oh no. But if you look at his stuff, he won a couple HOHs at pretty important times. I think he had a veto win to, like, secure something that he could stick around. He won a couple vetoes to send people home as well. So it was just interesting to see Ross Matthews of, like, this is one of the most effeminate gay guys you will see ever in your life. But that's that, like, I think it's just playing against perception or playing against what you think is, like, oh, it's so dumb now to say in 2024, like, gay people are multifaceted. But that wasn't true in, like, early 2000s to 2010, like pop culture. And I think this is a thing where if you want to go back and look at some gay men that have played good games and pushed forward, like, now when there's a gay person on the show, you're not going to think they're a pushover. Like, I've seen some gay people do really well on the show. We should watch out for these guys. I don't even know what I'm saying, but, like, it is something where seeing Ross Matthews play extremely well was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was rooting for him the entire time. He was one of the faces that I knew in the season. So there were a few that I didn't, and I was like, all right, Ross Matthews, great, let's go. And then he played just so hardcore and like was playing the game, and you could tell some celebrities did not know how to play the game or were just kind of there. And I appreciate that he was like living out a dream rather than just like appearing on another television show.
True. And like him just being like, I think like he's gonna lose because he was so cutthroat. I think him being like, ah, that's what happens, like I did my best, is kind of like, oh wow, like I'm glad he's not bitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if there was Celebrity Big Brother All-Stars, he's probably at the top of your list.
Two seasons of Celebrity Big
Brother. There was three. How dare you?
Oh, sorry. How dare you? My four, I'm going with Yvette from season 6. First open lesbian. It took 6 seasons to get there, but we got there eventually. First gay person to reach our final tribal council. And she was an option for both all-star seasons. Didn't get on for 7 and then like bowed out really late into the casting process for 22. So I wanted to give her the nod of being like, I guess, the pioneer in Big Brother.
Nice. I mean, yeah, like I think Yvette is somebody that, she's from Miami. It's one of these things where I have to be correct when I say this. I'm pretty sure she is. Like, I don't think I made up memories, but like whenever I was watching her, I think she was somebody that it is something where like you're watching her. She's from Miami. Great job. Like her and Bo are secret partners.
Yeah.
And other people are secret partners with somebody they're dating, some of their best friend. And like watching two people who were gay being secret partners was an interesting layer of like, I'm watching this as a whatever year old, like so young in my life, like 14 year old being like, oh, like that's fun. And like Yvette was equal parts, I'm not going to back down, just like somebody like that we all love on Survivor. Like if she had been on Survivor, she probably would have been on 3 all-star seasons. And like, it's something where maybe her gameplay didn't get her the win, but I don't think anybody watched Yvette's season and was like, Yvette's going to be in the bottom 5 characters. She's somebody I would love. Like Daniel Reyes came back for Reindeer Games. If there was 5 Reindeer Games a year and Yvette came back for Easter Games, I'd be excited to watch her and be like, what has she been doing this whole time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And well, she has 2 kids and a wife, found that out while digging. But
we should talk about them on Easter Games.
Easter Games. let's bring her back.
4th of July, I guess, is actual real Big Brother time, so they wouldn't do 4th of July games.
They should, just for shits and giggles.
Okay, now here's for a more controversial pick, and I gotta look up his last name too, because I just don't remember anybody's last name. Big Brother 20 was one of the best seasons recently, and a large part of it was because of JC Mondu.
Yeah.
I think that's how we pronounce his name. I think it's something where, what a character of like, I know it was immediately like as his cast was released, it was like, oh, there's a video of him doing something crazy. And like now at this point, I am in the gay culture. And it was kind of a moment where it's like those videos are probably out there for a lot of gay men that don't have long-term husband. Like the two people that we've mentioned earlier of Hysam and Michael have like long-term husbands and wouldn't have like racy videos online. So it is something of like that context of like he should be removed, all that stuff from from some fans, it was like, no, this is what we do. And it was a weird solidarity. And like watching JC play, he's got all his viral videos of different things, but in the Big Brother house, he was so good. He's almost kind of like Vanessa, I think, of like, how did he do so well? It was like emotionally manipulating, like Tyler, of like, even though I'm not in your alliance, I have to be along for the ride. I think his literal win in Final Four HOH is one of the most shocking I've ever seen. Like, top five shocking, let's just not be so hyperbole. But like, it was equal parts, what is this guy doing? He's got the yaitis and like every time he had a moment on the show, it's a fun moment. But then there's also like, is he trying to date Tyler? Does Tyler know what's going on? Like all of that, maybe there's some like lost in translation stuff, but like, he's just a fun dude where like, maybe as long as it was like, everyone was having fun and it, cause I know he had some moments where it was like, whoa, hold up, buddy. And like, we talked to him about it, but like JC, why wasn't he on Big Brother 22? Or like, if there is a legend season of this, like, I think he's somebody that when he shows up to a cast, when he shows up to a party, when he shows up to anything, he's going to be in your face and a moment. And like, that's something that I think like gay culture can be like, oh, that's a negative. But like at our parties and our whatever, it's like, I want to see more people like that. And JC is a good representation of gay culture on TV, even if there are some like, oh, that's shocking. Like, I think the pride discourse every year of, can I take my kid to the pride parade or will it be people having sex in the stands? It's like, I think everything about that can be encapsulated on, do you like JC on TV or not? Like, that's the energy we're going to be giving at pride parade. Like, come enjoy it. Or if that's not your favorite thing, come afterwards to the brunt or whatever. I don't even know where we're going with this. We're not, I don't think I'm going to get a GLAAD award for this commentary, but it's definitely some like, JC is somebody where I would be like, come on by and bring that energy and just don't go too crazy. And then it's like, you were telling me not to go too crazy. She's like, oh, sorry. You know what I mean?
I was not the biggest JC fan, but I do give him credit for being like the perfect middleman. He was in Faute. He was with Level 6. He was just bouncing between both very seamlessly and then eventually like picked a side and went with it. But he was always used for a vote. He was in the know for a lot of things and was just like choosing where he wanted to go and had a lot of agency within the game. So that I give him a lot of credit for.
And that's probably about as much credit as he needs. You know, he's great, but I get if they're like, we're never bringing him back, I'd be like, okay, sure, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of player I want on Big Brother every year. Bring back JC.
My number three, I'm going with Claire Rifus. She's bisexual. Though with Derek X, so sad, but I also love Derek X, so happy. But Claire is the only team captain to make it to the jury phase, and I really like, I didn't watch as much of that season of Big Brother as I watched her in The Amazing Race. And I just loved her dynamic with Derek on the race. She is a huge Survivor fan. So just like watching some of their Instagram reels and TikToks of her, like them out camping and be like, I've got to make fire, got to win immunity, is hilarious. And she also has come from like the live game community, which I do a decent amount of. So it's just like someone who is close to home on a reality show, which is also awesome as well.
Hell yeah. And she was the last person standing or second to last. She got seventh place, right? And then the cookout took over. Like, I think she was like, there, that is a testament of like,
you're the chosen one.
Yeah. She basically won for all the non-cookout people. It's crazy to say that, but like, I think that's because she's a good person. She's, mm-hmm. she was fun to watch. I think there's a couple times where, all right, you have a secret HOH. You could do whatever you want. Why did you do that? But yeah, I think I was happy when they won the mm-hmm. which, well, she's an alternate. She's an alternate, but now she's number one. Like, what a story too.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought, you know, she's just a fun character and light. She brings like just like a little bit of levity to a season, so she's fun.
Right. Speaking of bringing levity to a season, we're going to stop talking about that because these people on my list do not do that. My number two is the only gay winner currently. subtext, Andy Herron. He is the redhead from Big Brother 15. Uh-oh, do not mention Big Brother 15. But it is something where he played extremely well. He managed whatever the chaos was. And I think him being a gay representation on the show is something where you're like, okay, like, thank God he wasn't the one being toxic and whatever, or like maybe he was someone to be a shoulder. And now I think the layer of why this is, he's still part of the community technically because he's tweeting biting remarks. He's getting in a fight with Survivor 46 cast. And like, it's just something where like that energy of being a gay man personified in Andy and being like, this is the rainbow of what gay people can do. Gay people can be anything. Gay people will be boring. No, not for TV. But like, Andy is the perfect, like, he will pick you to pieces with some biting remarks. And him going against Gina Marie in that final tribal council, as we're going to keep calling it for the rest of our lives, was the most like interesting thing of that end game of like, he basically locked it down from like final six on, I think. Like, all he had to do was beat McCray one time, and it's like, okay, we did it. I think he's somebody where, don't watch Big Brother 15 if you don't have to, because of all the whatchamacallit, watch some highlights. Why hasn't he been back on? Well, it's a bad season to win. But, like, would he have been better on Big Brother 22 than about eight of those contestants? Yes. And if they do a Big Brother all winners season, I think if you don't include Andy, there's no point, because he's the only gay winner and you gotta
get that representation.
Like, what are we talking about if we're gonna go? No, like, yeah. I know we're 26. This will be 26 seasons in. Could we get 16 of the former 25? That's really hard to ask because it's years gone by for some of these, and some of these people we never need to see again, probably. So, fingers crossed we get some good winners coming up. Maybe we can make it happen for Survivor. What is this place called? Big Brother 30.
Sheesh. Andy is another one like who does the middle game like extremely well. And I think he just like made the roadmap of like one of the perfect like run middle game talking with one side, spilling the tea with the other, and just giving out information when he needed it, winning when he needed it, and then giving it up to an alliance member for them to take some of the heat away from him, but then realizing at Final Tribal Council that like, hi, I've backstabbed everyone here, but I was playing a game. Please respect that.
Please respect. Because I know they called him the rat, which isn't a really endearing term, but it was literally one of the funniest strategies, because he would go from room to room and be like, I left my toothbrush in your bedroom for some reason. I just came to get my toothbrush. I don't know why it's in here. What are you guys talking about? And like, that was the whole strategy that I think there's at least an interview you can watch about it. But it was like, Andy, quit leaving your shit everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all strategy.
My number two, I have Natalie Negrotti. Okay. She came out as Pan after her season and kind of like in the middle of one of her challenge seasons. I know her a little bit more from the challenge because she's had more seasons over there. But she also did an interview on Andrea Belke's podcast one time about like her time on reality TV and her sexuality, which was really interesting. And it's funny that I talk about her on this list because all of like the season she's in showmances with guys and uses them. But I think it would have been really interesting to see her gameplay had she realized her sexuality earlier on and like use that to like get in good with some of the women and use it as a tactic with some of the men as well to like further herself in the game. Like we were talking about showmance strategy, like she could use it with all sides. And it would be really interesting to see a player flirt with the girls and the guys to maneuver herself forward as well.
I think that's something where the first time we have a love triangle where it's a girl is going after a dude and a girl in the same season, I think that'll be I don't think that's happened yet, but like that'll be a whoa. Or just like Tyler and Angela, like we didn't really think about this until 6 weeks in. It'll be like like the girl, it'll be like the guy is pre-jury and then the girls get together after jury.
The and closest it'll be like, thing we have is Bailey, Casey, and Swaggy.
Yeah, I guess that is Swaggy. It's kind of the opposite there because Bailey and Casey were first week and then didn't do anything after Swaggy left, where it's like that almost feels like, but okay. My number one. My number one of all time, most important gay person to the show / whatever we're talking about is Marcellus. And God, I just don't remember these people's last names. Oh my gosh.
Marcellus needs a last name.
Marcellus Reynolds, of course. Marcellus he was on two seasons on the show. And I think he is, why was he put up the first week of Big Brother 3? It's because he's gay. And they also, actually, maybe it's also because he's black. And him working through that first week of like, you guys had some prejudice against me probably, and maybe I'm not like person you know in your daily life, but I'm worth talking to. And I just remember being like, wow, like that's amazing. I haven't stuck up for myself like that in my life at that point in my life, because it's literally 2002. That was just so admirable to see. He's so fun and effervescent whenever like stuff's going his way. It was so interesting seeing him interact with Jason, with Danielle, with Amy. Amy and him are best friends to this day. And then we watch him like, oh, I blew it. But like, you know, them are the breaks. And it's time for him to come back for Big Brother 7. And then he's best friends with Janelle. And you're like, okay, sick. Like, I like that group. And he turns into like, bad stuff go like it's not going his way, and now he's like in a row being like, I'm not gonna deal with this BS, and you're just like, okay, like this is energy. That and like even to this day there was like a thing where he was like not the biggest fan of Julie Chen, if you want to go look up that thing, and you're like, still to this day he's opinionated, he's funny, he will read you down. I know that's more of a RuPaul's Drag Race thing, but like, because biting remarks, I can only say so much. But like, I think Marcellus is truly the number one person of like, if he wasn't on the third season and made it to Final Five. I think it would have been harder for gay people to be like, I want to apply. I want to watch this. Like reality TV competition shows, housewife shows. Some of these times, like dating shows, maybe not, but like competition reality shows have gay people in a chokehold. And I didn't realize I was gay and part of this. I'd always thought I was hanging out with a bunch of big gay people talking about reality shows. But if Marcellus had been treated super unfairly and immediately eliminated, and like, thank God we got him out of here, I think that would have turned off a lot of gay people very quickly of like, reality TV may not just be for us. Maybe we need to wait another decade or so. But seeing that, I think, helped form like, this is, gay people can share their stories on TV, because maybe we're not getting fiction, we're not getting like movies. Like, yeah, there's some gay movies, but it's not all the time. And maybe this is a way that gay people can share their stories, is like through reality TV. And that was something where I'm not going to watch a gay movie as I'm an 8-year-old or 12-year-old at this point, but I'll be able to consume it on my favorite reality show and not realizing like, oh. And it's not indoctrination or whatever, obviously, to cut that off at the past. But it's like, here's a real story that you could possibly relate to down the line. And like, that's what I love about reality TV, is I don't know what it's like to be from the Bronx. Marcellus is not from the Bronx, but like, I'm just picking a random city of like, but now I kind of have an idea about it, because all the people from the Bronx that are on reality TV are absolute psychopaths. And you're like, okay, now I know. So more about that neighborhood. Love the Bronx, actually.
Marcellus, I think, had one of the biggest glow-ups, too, in terms of just placement, gameplay, strategy, from being on the block and then all of a sudden just, like, being one of the most, like, strategic mastermind players within that season as well.
Okay. I could... yeah, because he just gets got so bad.
I'm thinking, Kevin, ignore me.
Don't worry. Because, yeah, at Final Five, when he does go, he is working together with, we're so good, we don't need. And I think between his Final Five elimination and Judas's Final Five elimination, I think those are the top two Final Five get-outs.
My number one probably comes a shock to none. Casey Clark, winner. Okay.
I've heard of her. Yep.
Casey, I think, is different from everyone on this list for me, is because she reminds me, like, she's like, oh, she's like, looks a little bit more masculine, doesn't do the makeup, the hair, the nails. She's a football player. Like, it felt like I was seeing someone who, like, looks like me, acts like me, is gay on TV and openly so. And it's great to see, like, that representation on TV, where, like, I feel like we've seen a lot more either straight passing or more feminine women who are lesbian, rather than, like, I don't know, someone like Casey. Also, she had great gameplay, competition beast.
Right. She's everything we said about Michael Bruner, but for lesbian science.
The lesbian Michael Bruner.
Yeah. It's just, and she's a winner, which I think is like,
The first lesbian to win, the second LGBT contestant following Andy. So,
yeah, it makes sense that they're going to be at the top of these lists. I think it's interesting watching Casey go on another show, and she's won at least one season of The Challenge.
Yes.
So it isn't a fluke. It isn't oh my God, she got dragged by level 6. I think winning another show kind of makes her win, like, oh, it's not that it makes more sense in retrospect. It's just, oh, okay, she did know what she was doing. It's not like everything I just said, but like, she also represented the people that like to say, let's go. And like,
let's go.
I think representation for let's go real people is important as well. So
yeah.
That's the Big Brother side. We also got 5 survivors, but whoa, since this is a Big Brother podcast, we can zoom through these because I know some of you guys are gonna be like, Survivor Schmiver.
Well, we're specialist branded right
now. Oh, my bad. There's no Big Brother logo there. Crap. Okay, let's do your side first. And by your side, I mean lesbians. I don't know why I can't say lesbians without feeling confident about it, but that's what we're doing. Lesbian or bisexual women for you are number 5.
I think we... Yeah. All right. So my number one is... All right. So number 5, I have Kelly from 45. Loved watching her and her line of, it's great, I can get in great with the guys and bro down and then be like, oh my gosh, have you heard the latest gossip with the girls? Like, that line was just so, like, that's how she should manipulate the game. I wish she went further in 45 than she did, but I just think she had a lot more potential than what happened, and she just got. But I loved her from pregame and just her on that season as well.
I think one thing about her is she's just cool.
Yeah.
And like, you're like, wait, what? Like, are you not affected by bugs or like dirt or like, are you not hungry? And she's just like, her hair looks perfect and she just looks cool. And she's like, what are you talking about? And you're just like, everyone wanted to align with her immediately because she's cool. I think the number one reason they got rid of her is because she's cool. Like, it was just like, she's just so cool. And you're like, I don't know if you want to rank that season of like, who's the biggest threat or what we could do. But like, I think having the lesbian on that season be like the end all be all, like she is the coolest and we got to get rid of her or she will clearly win, is a thing that you just don't see very often. And it is like, oh, being a lesbian is cool.
Yeah.
Because you could be like Kelly and you're like, oh, okay. Like, I'm sure all the 35-year-old women that are watching that are like, Kelly is really cool. It's like, not, is this awakening somebody in me? But like, oh, I'm probably lesbian. So,
like, do I want to be her or be with her? Is a common like lesbian trope.
True. I understand that completely. And but for my number 5 for Survivor, I think we kind of touched this on Big Brother when I was talking about some of the later ones. But like Brett LaBelle from Millennials versus Gen X is the epitome of, we looked at the cast. We were with him for about 6 or 7 weeks. If you didn't do any extra research, if you weren't doing podcasts, it was a complete surprise whenever he said to his fellow tribemate,
Zeke.
Yeah, I'm gay too, Zane. Like, and it's something where you're like, Zeke, not Zane.
Zane Knight is Philippines.
I'm gay too, Zeke. And it was a very interesting, like, quick, like, 5-minute segment of what it meant to be a gay man on the show. I think it is a, oh, did he have a shot at winning? Well, they got rid of him at 6 because they didn't want him around for the, or maybe brought to 5. It's all blur at this point, but we're on Big Brother time. So it is something where watching him play that well and be gay, and it wasn't the first 15 things he told people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know his job, it's like being a gay cop is like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And like just seeing that real life story and what that means from Boston, of like, there's got to be some homophobia in Boston, there's got to be some homophobia in the workplace, there's got to be some homophobia in a family, blah blah blah, blah, just based on what we know about his life, of how old he is. And getting through some of those decades like that is just so crazy, where it's like, I do want to hear his story.
What's great is like, it comes from a season that is in an age divide millennials versus Gen X. You have Zeke and Brett talking, a millennial and a Gen Xer, and you can see the difference in the times of Brett was told, don't tell anyone, and Zeke is told, be out and proud of who you are.
True.
So I just that discourse was great. My number four is Elaine from Island of the Idols, good old Busted Can of Biscuits.
Hell yeah.
And she, I loved her from the beginning. She came off being the just funny, great around camp. She tried to blend in, but she also has, you know, some strategy behind her as well, and was having great reads on people. And she just kept trudging through with this big target, being the likable around camp, because she was almost up for the their first vote because she was so likable. And having nowadays, like, this gay woman being the one of the more likable people and like the target for going home, is great that people aren't putting that like barrier anymore of I don't like them because X.
And then she get married right after the show to
pretty
her long time.
After.
And I remember seeing some of those pictures of her with her wife and their kids. And mm-hmm. it was like, oh, this is very cool. Of like, like, this is your favorite person from Survivor. If you want to go look at their, like, I remember looking at wedding pics for some people that got married on Survivor. And like, but it was Robin Amber or
yeah,
some well, let's not mention every single one of them because there's some weird stuff, but it is like, oh, this is a lesbian couple. Look at her cast going to support her.
Mm-hmm.
Look how this family in this, I think she lives in a state where it's clearly not
Kentucky.
Like, yeah, that's not the bluest state that's ever existed besides their university, but like, it's like, oh, you can be gay and live in states like this and have a wonderful life. And mm-hmm. that's what Elaine's trying to show you of, I may be different when it comes to this, but if you get to know me, I will be one of the coolest people and one of your best friends for the rest of your life. Is yeah. pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, that is not the energy for number four on mine. This is the only person I wrote LOL next to. Because I'm going to go with Reed from San Juan del Sur. I'm not even going to look up his last name. I will go look up his last name. San Juan del Sur. Survivor, San Juan del Sur. So everything we just said about positivity, blah, blah, blah.
Reed Kelly. That's what it is.
Yeah, Reed Kelly is not positive. And no. I think it was interesting.
But is he iconic? Yes.
It's like, I think what's funny is the all-timer like negativity tribal council, final tribal council questions. You got the rats and snakes. You got like Corinne telling whatever she did to Sugar, and that's so embarrassing. I don't want to ever watch that one again. I like, if you don't understand some of those relationships with parents, like, it's not worth, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to defend Corinne. So, but Reed, this crazy stepmother thing, putting Missy in her place. He's the only one that can be like, Baylor's a brat in the middle of the thing. Like, yes, I want to play Survivor. I don't want to play it with a 21-year-old that's getting like extra rice and extra coconut or whatever, because her mom's here. And like, it was just this crazy dynamic of how awful was it for him to play with that. Like, I can't, like, hey, don't you guys hate Baylor? Because it's like, I would be talking to her mom or someone that's aligned yeah. with her mom, and it's immediately going to backfire. I think it was interesting that like most of the gay men that get farther or whatever align with women, or like figure out a way to like, let's get out all these alpha male dudes, but not Reed. He was aligning with some of the
Keith,
like
less
yeah like
Alec.
The most country bumpkin, or like I don't know, hopefully that's still a word we can say, but like it's a thing where he's aligning with real people that have made relationships with him instead of immediately trying to get rid of them or like backstab them to get one step further. I think he would have had a pretty good position in the game if they just follow the plan So if Reed ever shows back up on Survivor, I think some people have been like, oh, I want to see Josh play again. I don't think Reed and Josh are still dating at this point, not even close. So it is something where, like, Reed is the one who made the more of a mark. Josh is the one with potential. But if Reed shows up on Survivor 54 because they need an older gay man, and I don't even think he's old right now. Like, in eight years for Survivor 54, maybe. But because how old was he when he was on the show?
I think
Reed was 31. And was he also a, whatchamacallit?
Broadway dancer.
Broadway performer. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so weird. Like, Josh gets the cover over Reed on the DVD cover. I know that used to be
Josh
a thing.
Was probably nicer, and they didn't want the evil stepmother to be remembered.
Because Missy and Baylor aren't on the cover. Like, who chose the cover photo for the, like, you have Kelly Wentworth on there because, not because of what she did her first time, but what she does her second. But, like, I think Reed is somebody, when you're talking about the all the different emotions you can be as a gay man, like, he's the personified of that completely. Yeah.
And I also love, like, when they do reunite at the swap, we do see them kiss and, like, hang on each other and hug and stuff. And that's also great representation for people to see, like, this is okay. This is good. This is healthy.
This is healthy.
My number three, I'm going to Amy Cusack from Vanuatu and Micronesia. Yeah. Aside from Sonia, RIP / gone too soon in Borneo, her and Scout were kind of like the first openly lesbian castaways. I'm pretty sure. But they're like the first two that stick out in my head. And then Amy is just so dominant within the season. We have her girlfriend come out on the island. And it just, like, that isn't necessarily part of her personality. We just know, you know, that she is dating a woman. But she's just so strategic and strong within her season that she has to just, like, get got or she'll run away with it. So I just think Amy is one of the best, like, lesbians who have played Survivor.
I think watching her on Vanuatu, it was, I'm absolutely terrified of this woman. Of like I cannot imagine playing a game with her. Of like, if I would be doing everything to try and get her approval of, like, please, like, what do you need? You want water? Like, I'll get extra or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think that's a testament to, like, the way she carried herself with such confidence. But, like, she's also so pretty. So, like,
yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. I think the edge that she had in 9, we were hoping to see again in 16. But I think it's cool to also see people, like, instead of, like, not even Tony's going to talk llama twice. Like,
yeah.
People grow, people do whatever. So watching her on 16, she was a little bit more like, I don't need full control. I can go with the flow. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, it's not that she lost her edge. I think she just, it wasn't important to win the whole thing dominantly like it was in the first season. So it was an interesting, like, and now this is a full person. Mm-hmm. And, like, what do you care about more, 9 or 16? I don't think you have to choose. You could be like, wow, seeing two sides of Amy, this is kind of cool. And I don't know. It's like, it's weird because we're saying now in 2024 that, like, it helped me see lesbians as real people. But, like, legitimately in 9 and 16, I think that is more true than you'd like to believe if you're a brand new Survivor watcher, brand new Big Brother watcher, of, like, the culture has changed drastically. And if you're 20 years old, maybe you didn't see it when you were 1 year old. And, like, I think it's something where maybe make a mental note of this podcast that you're watching for 5 minutes, like, 20 years from now, when you look back at being 20 and you're 40, some of this will start to make sense. of like this list of people we're doing for both Survivor and Big Brother did help large amount of people. Oh, lesbians aren't scary people that I shouldn't be around. Well, maybe Amy's a little scary, but like
because of her strategy, not because she's a lesbian.
Right, so. Right. True, true, true.
Who you got?
Oh, my turn?
Yep.
So there's only three gay winners, I think, in Survivor history, and they're going to be in the top three of these. But the third one is Yam Yam, because he's the most recent. Yam Yam Aracho. And he won season 44. And I think he was, now that we have gotten used to gay people on Survivor, now that we have, whatchamacallit, it's literally part of our culture now. Here's a dominant come from behind win, which you can't, those don't make sense together. But I haven't seen somebody play better from the bottom than Yam Yam of votes at merge over and over again. Couples like, I'm going home, Jeff. I don't know what to do. And maybe you're underestimating him. Why are you underestimating Yam Yam? Is it because he only has two allies? Or is it because he's making you feel good? I think I really resonated with his final tribal council, where he wins by saying a couple sentences of, you maybe didn't think I know this about you, but every time you smiled, I remembered what you were saying. Because whenever you were talking about your family, and I can go ahead and name your family, whenever you're talking about them, I knew you were genuine. And then when your face changed, when we're talking about the game, I knew you were lying. And I think that's something about, like, when you're a gay man and you're getting through your life, because he's not 20, he's not 30, he's an older gay man. He has been, maybe you mask yourself, maybe you try to pass, like, these are code switching. These are things that gay men have used for years to survive, because there's some neighborhoods, there's some barbershops, there's some places where I need to be the straightest version of myself. Even in my group of friends, am I going to talk as gay as I do? And like some people have the voice. There's so many books to read, and there's so many whatchamacallits. Or you could watch a season of Survivor and get some of this from there. And what Yam Yam was saying in his final tribal council of how he interacted with this group and what he was actually doing to play the game, I think everyone hurts for Carolyn that she got third and got no votes. But hearing that, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is one of the best answers for final tribal council ever.
Yeah.
And like, it's something that resonated with me pretty well too.
I also think, like, outright, I didn't think he was going to do that great, because he is that loud, big personality. And a lot of times those people get cut early, or because they might not fit in as well. But he was able to navigate the game really well, being like a louder personality within the game, which is a really big credit, because we talked about Elaine being one of these louder, bigger personalities, but she wasn't able to navigate all the way to Final Tribal Council, where EMM was able to do that and secure the win.
And I think that's something where the legend of Yam Yam, of like, I would love to go on a show and be as opinionated and as loud as Yam Yam. And I could hope I could, like, people would be enamored with me, but like, I would get voted out doing that. So like, the fact that he pulled it off is pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. My number two, I'm going with Carla. From 43, I think she was great, a strategic mastermind within that season. She was also a challenge beast. I mean, she basically broke one of the challenges alongside Owen, and Last Gasp. And she was really like the first person of the new era, aside from Ebby, because everyone was saying we're twins, that I really like resonated and liked and like wanted to follow after the show and root for. And I just thought she was really a front runner within 43 for me.
And I think it was like, and for all her positive stuff, now she's going to ruin Cassidy's life. You're like, oh shit. Like, that was a thing where it's like, as much as we're saying of the gamut of gay experience of like, there's some people you don't want to screw with, she is somebody you don't want to screw with, because like, if you see her on Twitter, she is blowing people up. She is this you-ing you? She is just like, where it's like, okay. Like if she got on another season, it is something of, would she be a target? Because people know that like, I think she was friends with Cassidy for like 3 weeks of the season, and then make sure she loses. Like, it's almost as crazy as Maria and whoever just lost.
Charlie.
That's how fast it goes out of my head. These new seasons, man, they need themes and not numbers. It's something where when she gets another shot, is it going to be, we can't let her get to merge, because I'm nervous. Like, yeah, we could say we're best friends, but I have seen you just flip on Cassidy because you didn't get your way once. There's a couple women like that. I don't want to say women. There's a couple players like that where, like, you didn't get your way one time in 26 days, and now you're, like, going to have your, like, just be on my ass about it for the rest of my, like, but ultimately, she was a good player. Like, I think she was pretty strong in challenges too, where it was like, I think she like broke her finger mid challenge and like still
kept going. Yeah,
that's something where I think seeing that as a 10-year-old, you're like, oh shit. I think that's something that's always in my head, is like, what are the current 14-year-olds watching Survivor going like, is it, it's cool to be like Caleb, it's cool to be like Emily Flippin, like, is it, it's cool to be like Yam Yam, and those are role models that like one day when they're 34 and on a podcast, they'll be like, my Mount Rushmore is Yam Yam and Caroline or whatever, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. But I don't know if I'm just taking over, but I'm doing, there's a reason why we're doing all this. I don't think I really said it too much in the beginning, but like, my number two is Richard Hatch.
King.
And I think as I'm 3 episodes into All-Stars 8, because we're going to be doing All-Stars Survivor for Every Season Matters soon.
Become a patron. Not,
become a patron and like and subscribe. I will stick to Borneo for this, because I don't... I think let's stick to the episodes and the zeitgeist of Borneo first, and then we can do a little bit of the legacy. But I like this man, even though he's queer. I like, that's being said, I think was super important. Just like I mentioned Marcellus, for if he goes home immediately, if they vote out Richard Hatch at 16 because he's gay, that's devastating.
They just vote out Sonia instead.
Right. But she's old and she fell. Yeah. so you did have this experience, but the gay man, it is something where not only does he win the first season, it seems like he's one of the smartest people. He's kind of an asshole to be around. He's kind of demeaning, but he's kind of always in charge. Mm-hmm. There's just something about, and now I'm going to be naked, where you're like, he made his own stereotypes of gay people. Like, maybe that's some stereotypes you had about gay, but it was, no, that's just what Richard Hatch is. And like, I think no matter how much you mention like anything, what happened the first time it happened? Like, anytime you're learning about Olympics, one of the questions on your test is, where were the Olympics first held? If you had a Survivor course for the rest of your life for reality TV college, it'll be, who's the first winner of Survivor? Mm-hmm. And the fact that that's a gay man, and in 2000, how are gay men perceived? This is before 9/11. We're coming off. I haven't mentioned the word AIDS at all, this thing, but I think it's worth mentioning of like the AIDS epidemic is a major thing that has happened in the 80s and early 90s. And maybe we're figuring stuff out and figuring out how to blah, blah, blah. Not that any of these people had AIDS, but like there's a large generation of gay men missing. So seeing somebody, I think on the show, he's in his 30s, like having that older gay men presence on these reality shows is something where there's not a lot of that in the community. So seeing him do all that and win is like, oh, some of these gay people that are watching this maybe do think they have a future, instead of like most gay men die before they turn 40. Mm. And I think that is like, I'm not watching, like when I'm watching Borneo as a 10-year-old, I'm not thinking of that. But I do think that was probably important for gay men that were watching that. Or did you see this? Or I don't know if there was gay bars that are like, let's all watch Richard Hatch. Like, that's probably insane to even pretend that happened. But I do think there's a layer of somebody went on the show that is the number one thing in the world right now. He did the best possible, and that person is a gay man.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, he didn't pay taxes. And then afterwards, he didn't do this. And then afterwards, he didn't do that. But it's a thing. Yeah. Okay.
He just showed Survivor how to Survivor. Like, he masterminded everything and showed people this is how you play this game. And without Hatch on Borneo, I don't know if we last as long as we do, because he is this pioneer for strategy in Survivor as well. And then his relationship with Rudy showed people like someone who is decently homophobic can like and get on with a gay man. They might not be sleeping next to each other, but he can still like be in a number one alliance and be friends with someone who happens to be gay, and it's not the end of the world. So the Rich and Rudy dynamic is so pivotal to Borneo as well, and like the culture that it was airing during.
True. True, true, true. And then he went on the show again. I don't know what happened. Okay.
A shark bit him.
Who's your number one of all time?
I'm sure everyone is also shocked for this number one, but when Parvati announced that she was queer, my lifelong dreams have been fulfilled. Oh my God. And I just like, she was my favorite player before she came out, but now that she came out, like, it just skyrocketed.
Eternal number one.
Eternal. Like, nobody can top Parvati. I mean, what do we need to say? I mean, everyone has talked about her already, but she is, like, just one of those staple legends within Survivor. And the fact that she was married to a man and is now not dating not in a relationship with that man, and has like found someone new later in life, it's like, it happens. These things happen to people, and it doesn't have to be like so black and white, like I'm gay at 14. I can realize my sexuality later after I've had a marriage and a kid.
I mean, that's how they used to do it. Yeah. That's a story that I think a lot of generations are like, oh.
Yeah.
Yep. Parvati is the moment. I think she is the moon. She is the wind. She is the stars. I think one thing that is very interesting is we don't know about Parvati's sex life before she tells us stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that final tribal council question from Natalie is like, she was like, I know I'm trying to win $1 million here, but what is happening? Like, like,
I mean, also, I will show off this picture until the day I die, but my signed Parvati picture has McKenna, I like your style, and within the lesbian community, that's like a, hey, like, I like your style is like, I'm into you, I like your style. Not saying that she was, but like, it was a precursor of she now is part of
the community. So you could maybe...
Not saying that I was part of any of it, but just like that she wrote that specifically. Oh, okay. And within, you know, the lesbian community, I like your style is like, we play for the same team.
Gotcha. I thought you were like...
No. No.
Come upstairs. I was like, whoa, jeez. No. That did not happen with my number one.
No.
My number one is... Todd Herzog from Survivor China. And I think it's a very personal type of pick. I think it's a very, like, it's so sad that he has not come on and told his story a second time. It's so sad he hasn't played a game a second time. I think there's some of the best moments I've seen on the show are from Todd of, like, he is balanced. He has a crazy ass tribe and he is balancing seven different personalities and he is clearly the leader, even though he's a skinny dude. And like, we haven't seen usually the skinny dudes go home first or second because they're getting absolutely obliterated in challenges. But we have a skinny dude and a skinny girl sticking around because we have James, the gravedigger Clement on our team, where he's like stronger than five people combined and can help us out.
Well, but I mean, like, what's Todd's tagline? Gay Mormon flight attendant.
Which is amazing because that's like a triple neck or whatever. It like cancels itself and then remakes it gay afterwards. But like, I think what I actually want to say about Todd is when I was watching China, it is a high school season for me. And watching him, like, I am going to answer Jean Robert's question very specifically. And I get told that's one of the best final tribal councils ever, or answers ever, where I'm going to show some humility and like, fluff up the Jean Robert bird to get his thing. I think there's also the, like, I'm going to be wholesome to some of my fellow contestants. I'm gonna be like, oh, let's make fun of them with the other one. Like, he's literally switching to play with every single one. It is like, this is the whole gamut of all these personnel, or like that he was fitting in everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's gonna make sense when I say this last one, but watching Todd win and not realizing that I'm gay either, Todd's win was like a win. I thought he was maybe a member of Survivor Sucks. So it was kind of like, Todd's win means something to me because I think he's in Survivor Sucks. But it really meant something to me because, oh, I'm gay, I just don't realize it. And all the emotions I had of like, I'm so proud of him, this is so cool, Todd is the one for me. I'm sure people watch Yam Yam, then maybe they were in high school and were like, I don't know why Yam Yam's win is so important for me. I'm sure people watch Rich and was like, this is really cool, why is this win so important? But for Todd, I'm watching that final tribal council. I mean, Courtney would be really cool as a winner, but Todd winning, and like, he has like a weird haircut in the final tribal, that was kind of weird, but like, it was just like, why is this so emotional? Like, I went and like went downstairs because I was watching by myself and was like, Mom, this guy won. I think I know him. Like, maybe he posts on the same website as me. But it was, why am I trying to share this with people who don't care? My mom never cared about Survivor. And it was like, it's a bigger moment than I was aware of at the time.
Yeah.
And so that's why maybe this list is more for me at this point than you guys. But it's something where, why has he not came back? We do know why he hasn't come back. It's a relatable story for the gay community of like, oh, I've been abusing some alcohol or some other problems in my life. I remember him talking to his loved one And instead of having a really cool loved one experience, there's a very negative story that he has to like kind of absorb when he's in China and like keep trucking. And I think that's the strength of, he's got to be there for his sister. He's got to be there for his tribe mates in a very emotional moment. Who has the strength to do that? Gay men have the strength to do that emotionally. Like, it's very cool to see him not ever get beat. Like, you can't beat his wits. He does a foolproof plan for James to get further. James does it, but then he pulls the rug. Like, yes, you can beat him physically, but Todd never cared about that. Like, I'm playing a different game. It's just something where Todd is cool. And if you're looking for inspiration for, I want to be a gay contestant on Survivor or Big Brother, I think this list is a great one, but watch Survivor China. And I'm not trying to say be the next Todd, but like see what Todd does. And it's just a really cool, like, I think that is one of why I recommend that season to everyone, because there's a more personal connection that I'm aware of for that season and win.
I mean, I can't say as well as you just did of like why Todd is important, but like Survivor China is an amazing season. Todd is an amazing winner. Also, his like relationship with Leslie on that season, where she is very religious and outwardly so, they even like nowadays have like a really great relationship, and it shows that like you can be religious but also think this guy is pretty cool, I like him, he's my friend, and because he likes guys doesn't mean anything is bad with him.
Sheesh.
Mic drop.
Yeah. So that's the five and five and five. I'm sure there's some people we left out. If you have some emotional connection or you wanted to make a funny joke, go ahead and write in the comments. They're unmoderated, you know. Maybe we'll click negative if you're like, I don't like gay people, but
yeah, please don't say that.
Yeah, please don't say that. I do think I'm interested to see who the new gay reps will be on the next season, which I don't know if I've ever said that before, but like, I think it is an interesting, like, you just had Michael, who's extremely strong. You just had Hysum. You just had Izzy. Like, are we going to swing the pendulum way back where you're like, and now we have the most effeminate gay guys and like the biggest lipsticks.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we say lipstick lesbian anymore, but
it's fine.
I need to look all this stuff up of if there's a meter of stuff you can say or whatever, but I know that there's some stuff we say in the gay clubs where it's like, that's for us, not for everyone. So I think I'm glad that this is probably the only time we'll talk about the inner workings of gay mindset when it does come to these shows. I don't think it's not a thing I put in my, I need to talk about this in a premiere or a finale, but I do think with 4 days left of Pride Month, this was a good time to go like, this is why representation matters. This is the representation that has mattered. This is the matter of representation.
Whoa. Another mic drop. Alrighty.
Little Nas X should be on Celebrity Big Brother 4.
Yes.
That is the one I want more than any. If he could play a full season of
Little Nas X and Renee Rapp, let's go.
Oh my god.
The next time you see Blake and I, it'll be for the cast assessment whenever that drops for this new season of Big Brother. And then you'll be seeing us a lot throughout the summer and early fall. So stay tuned, follow us on socials, subscribe to us on YouTube, like the video, all the things. And we will see you when the cast officially drops for Big Brother 26.